Hello, good morning, and welcome to Raider Nation Radio. It's the morning tailgate on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you here inside our Las Vegas studios are ready to go here on this Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to Eddie Borsilli this hour at 7:30 from Sirius XM Radio. Do a little four down territory at 8, and at 9, our good buddy Case Kiefer from the Las Vegas Sun will join us as we talk the Raiders coming out of minicamp. 702-365-9200. What an important number that is. Not only can you reach us at the show with either the text line or phone number, 702-365-9200 could be your path to Liverpool, England, and all sorts of destinations throughout the summer of fun. Brought to you by Planet Nissan. Listen, in about 20 minutes, we'll give you that keyword of the day so you can qualify to win that four-night, three-day trip over to Liverpool, England. What a trip that is. Or you just take the $3,000 cash. If you don't even have the passport, it's okay. You still get hooked up. But you can't win unless you qualify. 702-365-9200. 20 minutes will give you that keyword of the day. And also up on X at R&R 920 AM here on R&R. 9:20 a.m. Thank you so much for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. You know, several things going on, and I'm happy to report that about a month ago, I was starting to look at the Mets, and I was like, what's going on with the Mets? They're not hitting. This is they were like almost like 10 games under 500, and now they're just like, they are on a tear right now. You got to be happy with what you're seeing now your Mets.
I am, and you know, they lost a player really early on, Francisco Alvarez. I know a lot of people may not know of the name, but he's this young catcher that the Mets had. Signed him when he was 16 years old. He's been the number one prospect of the Mets organization for quite some time. Made a nice debut in his rookie season last year. And it's just super important in terms of defense, pitch framing, pitch calling. He's a fantastic young bat, and he hurt his wrist rounding the bases early in the season, was out for a couple of months and or however long it was. And they've really, I remember telling my son, I go, we're gonna feel this. He's kind of a heart and soul kind of a guy.
This one's gonna hurt.
And they're 17-2 with him in the starting lineup. So
including, good God, really?
Yeah, including what they've done since he returned just a week and a half ago. And they've been, that's their tear kind of coincides with him. They're also grimacing in the,
well, that's, you know, where I was going with this.
Yes. All Met fans understand what I'm talking
about.
All
right. Grimace from McDonald's.
Right.
Throughout the ceremonial first pitch on June 12th. And the Mets have only lost once since then.
Yes.
And the Church of Grimace has now been erected. And everybody is very, very excited because at Citi Field, he just set the tone of what it means to win. Play winning Mets baseball.
Yeah, it's baseball is great because it's such a long season that little things like this kind of occur and coincide with a little hot streak, and then it sort of blows up. I know there's the Angels used to have the rally monkey. There's fun things that players do in the dugout.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yes.
All of a sudden, something happened while we did this. This is obviously the reason, so we got to continue to do this. It just makes for makes the grind of a season so much more easier, or just easier to deal with. I know with the Raiders last year when they introduced the basket in the basketball hoop, the hoop of hope in their locker room, and it changed kind of everything and the whole mood and the atmosphere. Guys were in the locker room during their lunch break playing basketball, and it was really cool to see. And
yeah.
So little things like that.
Because sometimes in locker rooms, guys will just stay to their corner or this or that. Next thing you know, everybody is now participating in the middle of the room to go and play with the hoop of hope.
Exactly.
And that was hilarious.
Yes.
And so Max has good game.
Max has good game. He's definitely an athlete, and Devontae Adams is a fantastic. There's some sneaky good basketball players in that in that room.
That's right.
Jacoby Myers thinks he's the best, and we would love to see maybe a game. I hear some rumors that there might be a little All-Star game potentially going on during the summer league out here that could involve a Raider player. So we'll keep track of that and let everybody know when that happens.
Yeah, but Jacoby was one of those guys that would always have like this little smirk when he'd watch everyone else play. And he's like,
yeah,
you guys think you know how to play.
Exactly. So it's little things like that. By the way, I gotta ask you this. Do you think Drake cares about what happened yesterday?
Oh, yeah. What are the things that Drake does care about, though?
Well, I mean,
you know,
it was all in his face yesterday. I'm not sure you know what I'm referencing, but Kendrick Lamar had his pop-out concert at the Forum, and it was really, I loved seeing the Forum just lit up and just lively as it was yesterday. It was the Ken and Friends, a little pop-up Juneteenth celebration, and he performed, They're Not Like Us, like five times, I think it was, and that was the diss track to Drake. And you know, you had NBA players up there dancing with Kendrick and celebrating, you know, with Kendrick. And it was all, you know, and everyone just ran with it that this was just the ultimate, you know, diss to Drake. And a lot of his friends were in the audience. LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, DeMar Rosen was there. It was just a star-studded affair. And I just wonder, like, how much of those diss types of things do you actually feel as Drake, and does it eat at you at all, or is it just part of the whole kind of marketing thing for rap music or just music in general when there's ever a kind of a beef? I remember hearing a story. I think Jay-Z was involved in it, and there might have been another artist that they had this major beef. And it led to this one particular concert, it was just packed and everything like that. And the story that I heard was Jay-Z and whoever he was beefing with were cracking bottles of champagne in the background. Because
oh, okay. Well, I've always kind of felt that way, too. Like, beefs are good, because it allows, fans of the music to kind of go deeper into the lyrics, to try to find significance in the meanings and pick a side. And then people that are kind of like, just kind of like general fans of the music, that they get interested now because now there's something like a little bit further for them to go and take a look at. And then it becomes kind of like a learning experience and you start educating yourself. Yeah. So
this one seems really personal.
Yeah. And the units keep popping. Boom, 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 boom.
For sure.
So next thing people are listening more. People are buying more for both artists.
And usually what's great about it is that there's equality to it. Like there's, both artists are kind of winning, even though they got to take their lumps when the other guy comes out with the diss track. But this one feels a little one-sided at this point. Kendrick Lamar seems to have won the battle and conquered it, and it feels like everyone is on his side. I can't say that I'm completely versed in all this and what goes on, but seeing what I saw last night, and I watched, I watched the concert. My kids are huge Kendrick Lamar fans. My wife is a huge Kendrick Lamar fan.
Oh, that's great. Funky Raider 31 brought it up yesterday of how big he was and the big show at the Forum. So, it's pervading everywhere.
And you do wonder that, I mean, unless Drake is off on some island, which he can totally afford, unplugged to everything that was going on. Obviously, this got back to him, and I'm sure he watched it. I do wonder genuinely, all right, how much of this is truly real? Mm-hmm. How much of this is all sort of a big marketing plan? Because, the people that do get sucked into it are paying money for all this, and that's ultimately what drives the business. How much of it is that? How much of it is just kind of an act, kind of part of the shtick? And we're all getting caught up in it, and they're laughing to the bank. Both of them could be just laughing to the bank the entire time. And who knows, texting back and forth and saying, we got them, or maybe they just hate each other.
Well, it's exactly what you said. What's Drake's response? Because now what's the response going to be?
I think he needs to stop.
Yeah?
Because I think I think the superior artist. Drake is obviously, he's put banger out after banger out after banger. In terms of volume, I think it's more Drake.
Yeah.
Because you look at the artists that he's helped spawn and collaborated with and opened doors for, vice versa in that regard. I'm not an expert on either of their catalogs of work, but it just feels like Drake's has probably been more of a mainstream success, not to take anything away from Kendrick because he's a star, absolute star. But it feels like in this little brawl, Kendrick is winning decisively, and the lyrics are better. The diss is, it feels more not painful. I wouldn't use the word painful, but it feels like he's won this battle. And I don't know that Drake wants to continue this because he was taking a beating yesterday on social media, just a beating. Yeah. Because it was so in your face and seemed like everybody was watching it. You just go to Twitter last night, and you couldn't go two tweets if you're scrolling down your timeline without seeing something that referenced it. And it was all about, you know, the whole concert was great, and there were, you know, Dr. Dre was out there, and you know, like I said, it was just a star-studded crowd. But it just felt like from beginning to end, there was a huge element of middle finger to Drake. And I just wonder, you know, like how much of this is real, how much of this is marketing, and if it is real, how much does that, you know, somebody like Drake, who's a mega, mega, mega star and probably could just laugh it off, but at some point we are all human beings, and so you wonder how much that penetrates a little bit and really does get under his skin.
Yeah, because you start poking the bear a little bit, and you start pushing it a little too far, then it's not funny anymore. And
right.
But, you know, sometimes for certain guys, and maybe someone like Drake, what you do is you try to plan something to unify. And you're like, all right, let's get together for a free concert or a concert to raise money for a common cause that's important to both artists. And you try to put it into either a pay-per-view event or something on live TV. And next thing you know, you start squashing a lot of the negativity, and you try to reunite and get all these artists together. And then maybe at the end, those two come across the stage like Jerry and Dean. Remember that one?
Yes,
MDA telethon where Frank's like, let's get these two together.
Get over here.
Yeah, get over here. Why don't you guys hug?
Well, I mean, I thought that it was kind of dissipating a little bit and, you know, headed toward more squash. But for him to do that song, perform that song five times last night, that tells me, no, it's not.
Sends it home, doesn't it?
It's not close to being over. So we'll see where all that is headed.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's got to piss Drake off a little bit that, like I said, a lot of his friends, I mean, he's been on, you know, LeBron James is, you know, the show that he has, you know, the barbershop mm-hmm. show that he has.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's been on, you know, he would go to see Bronny play over at the high school that he played at in Southern California. I mean, he would just be waltzing in and the whole crowd would go nuts. And so they're good friends, you know, they've been friends. And, you know, a lot of the stars that you saw in the audience have been, you know, connected to Drake to some extent. And I would wonder, like, oh, wow. I mean, like you're kind of dancing on my grave over
well,
there.
Well, he's probably wondering, like, when did I become the villain here? Like, when did I become, like, the guy that nobody loves anymore, you know? And that's part of it. Like, you could see this branching out into other things. It's almost like we're, like, Drake would need, like, a young protege to start doing the bad-mouthing for him and stuff like that, right? But this could get good, and I would like to see Grimace to be a part of this, really. Actually, to see him come out and kind of bring the two forces together on stage.
I think Grimace is, yes, he may be. Maybe he's the force that will, that will you know, push for unity. And I'll say this, man. Anyone who knows Los Angeles, you just looked at what was going on stage. L.A. was as unified as it's ever been last night, and you know, those who know what I'm talking about. So it was quite the sight to see. It was weird because that concert started at 4 o'clock L.A. time, which is remarkable to start a concert at that time. I think they did it so that it could encompass the East Coast as well. It was live on, I think it was Amazon Prime was the station we watched on. Yeah.
And they had so many stars. They had to get everybody in. You had to start somewhere to, like, get this thing early.
Right. And it was just a couple hours long as far as the length of the contract. But, you know, having worked at the Forum and driven there every day for so many, years, to see, you know, there was a time where, after the Lakers moved to Staples Center and the Kings moved to Staples Center, the Kings owner helped build Staples Center, Phil Anschutz, there was a time where nobody knew what were we going to do with the Forum. It was literally at one point just bought by some church, and, you know, they had some services there, but it was kind of falling apart, and it was getting ready to maybe get just taken down. And Prince had like seven straight nights of concerts there, imploring people, got to do something about keeping the Forum here. This is like a historic venue, and was always, for the longest. We used to do this thing where, or teams used to do this thing in their media guides and they would ask players what your favorite arena is, like NBA players. Like if you were to look under the bio of, you know, name an NBA player in the 80s, it was always the Forum, because you come to Los Angeles and you're playing in front of Jack Nicholson, every star, producers were in the audience. That's still the case at Staples Center, but it was the thing in LA, and this is before the advent of all these great arenas that have popped up across the league. So this was the place, and I know I saw concert after concert there. And I remember Prince, in the night that I was there, he stops the concert and he's like, "Hey, guys, you know, I saw Michael Jackson here. I saw, you know, this person here. I saw that person here. I saw Magic Johnson and the Lakers here," and everyone just goes nuts. He's like, we gotta do something about this. By the way, that concert, $25 a ticket. $25 a ticket. And this was just about 12 years ago or so, maybe 12 years ago. And he did that because he never wanted to be a part of something where there were surcharges and extra charges and deny people that just wanted to go the ability to go. So it was literally $25. And, you know, you went online and bought your tickets, and we got tickets for two straight nights. That's crazy when you think about it. But that was Prince, and just a superior concert. And then all of a sudden, James Dolan and Madison Square Garden bought the Forum. And now it's one of the best concert venues in the world. It's they totally refurbished it, and it sits right there next to SoFi Stadium, like literally right across the street from SoFi Stadium, and in its own right has now remained one of the great concert venues in the country. I give a lot of credit to Prince for raising awareness that we can't just let the Forum go. Come on, you know, and now it's what it is. And to see it yesterday, the way it was, and all those stars there, that was pretty damn cool. But I do wonder, man, Drake's ears had to have been ringing yesterday.
It's great, because now this you got a whole summer now to see what is the response, and now what's going to happen is anyone's guess. But that was a historic night, man. That was fantastic what they were able to do over at the Forum. And Jamil from the 925 says, Raider Jamil, excuse me, from Canoga Park says,
Canoga Park, yes.
Concert was awesome because I saw only Raider gear. Raider fans everywhere. And I wonder what AP thought. you'd have to ask him, Vinny, and let us know. Thanks,
I know he's
guys,
on vacation.
For another great week.
I wonder if he was there. Who knows? He might. That's something that I think he would totally enjoy. But yeah, I will for sure ask him.
What's up, Canoga Park, San Ramon? It's good to hear from you.
The Canoga Park Hunters.
702-365-9200. Interesting story coming out of NFL, NFL.com, about the top 10 roster holes in the NFL.
Oh, boy, we're at that time of year.
Oh,
we?
Here we are.
Honestly, we're scraping the bottom.
Wait till 2 weeks from now. That'll be scraping.
Tell my sports editor the other day, like, we're really, it's like, this is the little time of year where you got to really manufacture stuff.
Yeah, this is the horse latitudes. This is when the wind stops in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and you're in the doldrums. And just wait till mid-July, the week of the All-Star game. That's the one where you're starting to see like the 64 tier of like, what's your favorite sitcom?
Years ago, the paper that I was working for, the LA Daily News, we literally covered on a daily basis the Lancaster Jethawks. It was a single-A team in the Antelope Valley, all right? And we had a satellite division for that area. We had about five others, throughout.
Remember the Jethawks.
Yeah, they're still there.
Okay.
They're still out there. So anyway.
Single-A.
So we had a reporter that traveled with them, everything. This was when we were printing money in the newspaper business. And so we used to have these weekly meetings for all the local satellite sections, because it was like a wrap around the main paper. And you had every single day two pages of sports, and you had to fill it. You had to figure out stories to fill it for that particular, whatever particular area we're talking about. And so the Jethawks were kind of a big deal. And so, but, you know, I could remember getting into like late August. Mm-hmm. And by then, you know, our poor reporter, because you have to find off day stories. The game days take care of themselves. You're writing a game day story, you're writing your notebook, you know, but what about the off day story? And by August, you've pretty much exhausted everything. So we're in this meeting and he's talking about, and his pitch was to do a story on the guy that did the that washed the uniforms, Yeah. So it was like, yeah, you know, he's been there for about 4 or 5 years. Great guy, you know, and that's his job is to clean the uniforms, you know, and he folds them and, you know, and it's like.
The uniforms have been vastly approved.
The guy that does the uniform cleaning and it was
okay,
like,
so he throws that out at the table.
Was there silence? There's total silence. and it was like, yeah, we're getting to that time of year. The funny thing about that is some of those teams, like in one area, would play teams in the other. We used to have this saying. It was called the Triple Crown. When you can do a story that could go into all three, like at least three of the sections, you know, if one story could be printable and readable and figure in to three different satellite sections. That was the Triple Crown. You wanted to do that. We would get to the point, well, he played one day. He played a game in that area. Or he drove through that area. That's fine enough. You know, kidding around a little bit.
Oh, right on.
But it was like, it would be like a story of he grew up in this area, transferred to that school, and now they're playing a school over here in Simi Valley. Perfect.
Oh,
that
right.
works. Like that, because we're trying to fill space every day. Like it's. You get to a point where, like we are right now, where, you know, Raider news, the NFL news, we're going to sit here and give up a half an hour of our time to talk about a story on NFL.com about biggest roster holes for teams.
Or not.
Yeah, or not. You know, and we're all part of the whole thing. But it just drives home, like, what is it, June 20th? This is where we are right now in the whole spectrum of trying to figure out stuff, which will be a great, you know, and I think this is a triple crown, Clay, because there's three teams on this list that the Raiders play.
All right, we
so
are
if
there.
We want to make it Raider-centric. Three of the teams that have made or significant still to this day, significant roster holes.
Yes, how does it affect the Raiders?
How does it affect the Raiders? We're good at this, Clay.
Well, we're here. 20 minutes now. Here's the time to give our keyword of the day for the summer of fun. Thoughtfully provided by Planet Nissan.
What is the word, Clay?
All you have to do is simply get your phone and text the word bikini, B-I-K-I-N-I, bikini, to 702-365-9200 for your chance to qualify for the big grand vacation.
Can't wait to see the spellings of bikini.
Yeah, B-I-K-I-N-I, 4 days, 3 nights to Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles. Text it in, bikini, 702-365-9200. If you can't make the trip and you win, they hook you up with a $3,000 payout. No matter what, you get hooked up. Planet Nissan, summer of fun continues here on Raider Nation Radio. Back after this.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Oh, thanks so much for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. Vinny and Clay on your Thursday. Again, that keyword of the day, bikini. Text bikini into 702-365-9200. Qualify for the summer of fun. This week's prize, the four-night, three-day excursion to Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles, or the $3,000 payout. It's up to you. Bikini. Text it, 702-365-9200. All right. Eddie Borsilli is here with us. Station Director, Channel 156, Fight Nation on Sirius XM Radio, longtime executive producer with Sirius XM NFL, and he joins us here on Raider Nation Radio. Eddie, great to have you with us. Hey, real quick, we were kind of starting off the week this week as we were talking, you know, just in the vapor trails of the Trevor Lawrence contract extension, and then it goes into like, well, how does that extension kind of affect the Raiders? And maybe down the road, if this Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew year does not work out or pan out where you find the long-term answer at quarterback, could the Raiders go into a free agent pool and dip their toes into possibly a guy like Dak Prescott who might be available? All right, there's a lot of fantasy land there, but do you, number one, envision that Dak Prescott could be a free agent? And number two, what's your anticipation to have the Raiders strike while the iron's hot, especially when you know AP wants to win now?
Yeah, as always, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
To me, right now, as we sit here, I can't envision the Dallas Cowboys letting a guy like that go. For all the hyperbole that's out there and teams talking about he's not the guy to get us over the hump, the guy puts up really, really great stats. I mean, he's really everything you want in a quarterback. I know the playoff wins haven't been there, but in today's day and age, and, you know, I think the real testimonial to what you guys, you know, ultimate point is here, if you can let a guy like that go at his age and the production that he has, it's really going to eliminate probably three quarters of the league of even trying to go after a player like that because the money's going to be so absurd. And I know they're obviously talking about some some different things that they could do in terms of the contracts for rookies and stuff like that. But if guys like Trevor Lawrence are getting paid, you know, who hasn't really shown it's more about the promise so far, what he's getting paid, and a guy like that saying, all right, well, let's put our, my numbers against his, I deserve three or four times, it's going to really kind of set the bar in a negative way, in my opinion, because you're going to have a quarterback, which, you know, at the position already, they're already taking up most of the cap, but, you know, could they get creative with the numbers? Could they do different things? But
sure.
I just don't envision a team like the Dallas Cowboys, how prominent they are, unless they get lucky and draft somebody that they feel like could be that next guy, you know, a la Tony Romo or something like that. You know, I just don't think you let a player like that walk out the door in the current environment that we have in the NFL where there's just not enough, to be honest, guys, there's not enough quality starting quarterbacks out there. So, yes, would I, yes, would it negatively affect the Raiders? Of course, because if, you know, they put all their eggs in that basket of a free agent quarterback that you feel like is going to get you to that next step, or you feel like that's a missing piece, you're going to have to pay, and you're going to have to pay a lot of upfront cash and do a lot of different things. It's just, you know, it's a slippery slope. And then if it doesn't work out in a couple of years, there's just so many variables. So it's again, it's fun to think about because, you know, but why, Clay, why are we thinking about it? Because there are not enough good players out there. You're thinking of the, you know, there's not enough, there's not 32 elite starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So you got to try to go and find one. And I think if the Kirk Cousins contract kind of taught us anything, sometimes you have to overpay for what you want. And, you know, is overpaying for someone that's going to put up stats and not get you to where you need to be. Is it worth it in the grand scheme of things?
I guess if I go back and listen to an answer, I'll find a yes or a no to the question of if he's available, would you sign him if you were the Raiders? Because that's the question that we're asking.
You want
him. And I completely hear you. I understand where you're coming from. Kind of taking.
The answer is yes. The answer is
absolutely,
yes.
Right?
Yes. The answer is yes. You just. You know, what's it going to look like? And I know teams...
Who cares? It's a top 10 quarterback, and you've got a roster that's already set. This isn't adding a quarterback to the 2020 roster or the 2019 roster, which was a Swiss cheese roster at that point. It's adding a top 10 quarterback to what you already have in place. It's the perfect time to do it.
The biggest misnomer in sports, Vinny, what fans do is they treat the salary cap as if the money's coming out of their own pocket.
Right.
And they feel like, oh my God, we can't do this because it's gonna hinder us here. Mm-hmm. It's not always the case. There's ways. Look at the New Orleans Saints. I mean, the New Orleans Saints play cap roulette every single year, and somehow they get under the cap and they have players and they field a good football team. Or, you know, when it's Tom Brady and you're doing different things. Like, if the Raiders would go after a quarterback of Dak's ilk, it's not going to be just the contract, guys. It's going to be other things. It might be parts of, you know, there could be a million different ways to lure someone like that over. That's not just, you know, guaranteed money or cash. So the answer is yes, because of my point before is there's just not enough elite starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, and let me ask you this as an additional question to that. Let's say it costs $60 million. It's not our money. We get it. Is it problematic to your salary cap if you make it problematic? But one way to mitigate that part of it is by drafting and developing. And so my question to you is, with Tom Telesco in place, Antonio Pierce and his staff in place, do you have a little bit more confidence maybe that, okay, yeah, you're going to be extending yourself way out there as it relates to the quarterback and way out there as far as the percentage of salary that you're pouring into your quarterback as opposed to right now, which is an insignificant number. But we got this guy in place, that guy in place. Feel good about being able to make the right decisions so that this isn't just a highly paid quarterback and nothing else.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is obviously yes. But I think also you have to think about, too, and it's funny, you know, the Raiders are sitting here with cap space now and everybody's kind of wondering what their due is. Mm-hmm. I would like to see over, you know, not this second, but over the course of the year or what have you, excuse me, maybe even after the year, locking up some of those key pieces. Because to your point before about this isn't, you know, 2019 or 2020, I mean, this roster is good, but you still got to maintain that. Yep. Yes, you have to go out and get an elite quarterback that you put the team on its back, but the other pieces, you know, have to kind of be in place. So locking up, you know, people that you drafted and second contracts. I'm a big proponent of if you draft and develop players, you know, look what the Raiders situation is now with Malcolm Kuntz and Trayvon Merrick and guys like that. Mm-hmm. You know, lock up some of your core guys, get those pieces in place so you can strike one. If you go through this season and you find out that Aiden and Gardner just aren't, you know, aren't going to cut it, and you can't compete in the AFC West, and you say, all right, we'll target these three guys and go after them in free agency, or this one guy free agency, that's all well and good, but you got to luck up the other pieces too to maintain, because there can't be any drop off. And yes, I know that if you sign a quarterback to that big of a contract, you're probably going to lose one or two players that you just can't afford. But, you know, I'm not talking about the high-end players. You're going to lock up some of the core guys and keep that roster in place. And I do worry, Vinny, too, about the old adage that you're one player away. You're one player away, because we've seen teams in years go out and get that player, and then all of a sudden another unit kind of struggles and stuff. So, it's a difficult decision. But, you know, like I said, if you can't find that guy in the draft, which is the excited way of what the Raiders went through this year, you know, you got to look for other solutions. You got to look for other things out there. And, you know, you have to, especially now in Vegas with, you know, tax-free land, you could offer more cash, you could do different things, you know, incentivize these players to come. So, you know, I do have more faith in AP and Tom Telesco. You like to feel like they're going to be here for a while. You never know in the NFL, but let's draft and develop players. Let's get to some second contracts, and let's find, you know, those players that fit the mold. And if you have to go out there and spend big, I'll never bat an eye about spending big on a quarterback. It's the most, you know, important position in pro sports, in my opinion.
It's Eddie Borsilli with SiriusXM Channel 156. He's a station director of Fight Nation on SiriusXM Radio, at Borsilli on X. So then for Akon himself, Aiden O'Connell, and working in the install with Luke Getsy, I would have to think, for a young quarterback in his second year, I don't know if there is a quarterback that has a better support system around him, as well as players that can take him to another level, especially those who were just drafted, like a guy like Brock Bowers. Can you think of a better situation for a second-year quarterback trying to find his way than what the Raiders could offer this guy?
No, and I think also, too, to that point is, you know, Aiden's going in, obviously, in a quarterback battle, but he's going in probably with the least amount of pressure, right? If you if you talk about players that were drafted as rookies and they're starting and all the stuff's on their back, maybe it's like an Anthony Richardson on the Colts. If he's healthy and he comes back, it's like, okay, well, this guy's going to come in and he's going to, you know, get us. We were the playoff team last year, but he's going to take us deeper. He's going to be, you know, another Cam Newton-type player, but he's got more pressure on him because of where he was drafted and things like that. And that's just not saying, that's not a smear against Aiden O'Connell, but if you're Aiden O'Connell, it's like, okay, I got all these weapons around me. I got a new coaching staff that I'm going to buy in. I'm getting a shot at the starting quarterback job. I know that I don't have to do too much. I don't have to put this team on my back and carry them when need be. Sure, I'm going to go out there and make the big time throws. But, you know, look around the quarterback room, and you got some veterans in there that you can lean on. Look at the wide receiver room, one of the best in the National Football League, talent everywhere, you know, good offensive line. I agree. I think he's in a tremendous spot, you know, take leap. And I think, you know, the experience from last year, the ups and downs from last year, a lot of very good, some okay, some bad. You know, that's what's going to happen in a rookie quarterback, and you saw it already. It's not a guy that's coming in and he sat his entire rookie year and all of a sudden he's thrown into the fire. This guy played, you know, took snaps, he took his lumps, he made some good plays, you know, and he's going to come out. But now you have some, you know, better players around you, and you have a coordinator that's going to work with you and do those things. So I do. I think he's in a good spot, as opposed to maybe, you know, someone, if it was a higher draft pick coming in, tons of expectations. But, you know, still the wins and the numbers have to come. You know, if it's something that, you know, it's getting to the Raiders 5-6 win team, it's just not going to cut it. So, you know, there is not, you know, the same pressure as if he was a higher draft pick or something going into the second year, but also too is, you know, hey, you did play, you saw it, let's go out there and let's play with confidence if he does win the starting job and go out there too. But yeah, if I'm him, I'm, you know, kind of salivating, saying, let me not do too much, let me get the ball in my playmaker's hands, let them do stuff, and you know, we'll win some football games.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, we just signed Gardner Minshew, who's been known to get on the field with the teams that he's been on. So I think that adds a little bit of, not necessarily motivation, because I know that Aiden is motivated, but just an understanding that I gotta take this job if I win it coming out of training camp and hold on to it, and that's winning football games and playing good football. And so there's that in the back of his mind as well. And I think that's one of the reasons you go out and get a guy like Gardner Minshew, just to let everyone know that, hey, there will be accountability here, and it's up to you make us not want to go to the bench to bring in a Gardner Minshew. Eddie, you mentioned some of the guys that need to get locked up or that you'd like to see get locked up. Trevon Merrig, Marcus Epps, Robert Spillane, Divine Diablo, Malcolm Kuntz, Nate Hobbs. I think it's a fat chance that all of those guys get re-signed, whether or not you're in the Dak Prescott world or not. It's just not the way it works usually. So I need three names from you that you cannot live without.
Three names.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold me to the fire since I didn't answer the first question.
Right. I struggle with it, man. I struggle with it because all six or however many it is are justifiable. You need them back.
Yes. And I'm going to... To me, it's actually easier to pick the three names.
Okay.
I'm also lacking. The three names to me, would be Malcolm Kuntz, number one, just because of the position that he's at and what he's shown. Just the growth from coming to a player that was very raw to morphing into a player that is producing at a high level. And you could see, all right, maybe he's ready to take that next step. And again, pass rusher is a premier position. So to me, Malcolm Kuntz is a guy that, if he goes out there, Vinny, and has another year, this year maybe he has 10, 11 sacks. Now he's in a different price range. Now he's in a different, thing that maybe you can't. So, getting a player like that under contract early would be important to me, before he takes that giant leap, hopefully, for the team. Number two is Trevon Merrig. I think that, a guy that was maligned early in his career, we talked about a bunch. Kind of trying to find his way. And maybe he's not the elite safety, in the Ed Reed, ball hawk type of stuff that maybe we thought he was going to be, but he is a very solid player. Teaming up with Marcus Epps playing back there, I think Trevon is a guy that you build with, can keep building in that Patrick Graham defense, and is a top-tier safety in the National Football League. And I think three is Nate Hobbs. Okay. And I know Nate has battled injuries and things like that, but I think Nate is one of those players that, when he's on the field, he's got that electricity. And I think he, if injury bug, can stay away from him, he's a player that you like to be physical in the slot. And he brings something that you might not be able to find kind of elsewhere, and also a younger type player. So to me, those are the three positions and players that I would target. I know we're, neglecting the linebacker position, with Spillane, who's been so good. And this is not a knock against him. This is more about get these guys, second contract back. I honestly think, Vinny, to me, that is a big confidence builder for a football team. Mm-hmm. Drafted guys come in and they see guys, that are were drafted by the team that are getting second contracts. I think that's a morale booster. A confidence booster for the team because they're like, hey, this team drafted me, believe in me. I can stay here, for 7 to 10 years or what have you, and build with this organization. So I really think that's an important thing in team building success around the National Football League. And, Spillane has been, again, a great free agent find. I think you could find, a player like him or something like, to that ilk if you don't have the money. But those three guys, I think it's important to kind of lock them up. And I think Kuntz, especially early, because like I said, if he, has another year where he jumps off the page, he's gonna jump up into a bracket that the Raiders might not be willing to go to.
Yeah, I think it's great for the entire organization, the scouts, the scouting department,
yeah,
everybody that's part of that. For years, the Raiders have been in that world of draft guys, and then a year or two later, they're gone. And it was very rare that you got to a point where there were second contracts being given out, significant second contracts given out.
There's nothing more frustrating as a football fan or a fan really of any sports team to watch your team draft players that end up being stars on other teams. It's just
or just
it's
out of the freaking league.
Yeah, it's my or out of the league. But I'm saying I think the out of the league stuff is almost like you have to laugh it off because it's so absurd. But like the other players on the other teams, it's like okay, like hey, we drafted this guy, we believed in him, played, it didn't work out. Now he goes somewhere else. Every time I see Danico Autry making plays for the Tennessee Titans, I know he wasn't the lead player, but just there's things
I
like that
you.
Where you just second contracts are huge. Like I said, it's really good for the entire organization to feel like the work that you're doing during the draft, pays out, and the fruits of the labor pay out, because otherwise, what are we doing here?
Right, exactly.
Well, just wait till Gerrion Conley starts picking off passes for the Cowboys, and you're going to be like, I told you!
You know, the thing is about that is some guys you are going to have to let go, but if they're good enough that you're getting comp picks in return, that's a game that you have to play, and you just, okay, we can't sign everybody, but we drafted well enough that somebody wants this guy, and we're getting a third-round pick out of it.
Look at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are the kings of comp picks because they draft well.
Right.
And even if they can't re-sign the players, they're getting third-round picks from them. Third-round picks are not, throwaway picks. These are big-time picks.
That's the replacement.
Back of the roster. Yeah, absolutely.
Great stuff, Eddie. We're so appreciative of your time. Thank you again for it. Let's do it again next week.
I'm coming out to Vegas next week, boys. UFC International Fight Week. I'll be out in Vegas next week. I'm flying in on Wednesday.
I'm going to replace you in New York next week. I'm literally going to New York on Wednesday. So we'll switch places.
There you go. You can come see our Mets and watch Grimace.
I am going to see Grimace and the Mets next Sunday against the Astros. So I will be at Citi Field.
I'll come by, Clay. We'll link up next week when I'm in Vegas.
I love that, Eddie. Thank you again, man. Have a great day. That's Eddie Borsilli, at Borsilli on X. And, hey, man, he's right. I mean, those three names, Kuntz, Merrick, Hobbs, those are the guys that, like, they should be doing some high fives in there. If those deals get done from all the way to the scouts, all the way up through, like, we're evaluating, we're assessing the right kinds of traits and players and skills, this is where the direction is headed. And you got to feel really good at that. And everyone gets rewarded. And even in the locker room, people understand, hey, there's a meritocracy here. If you start playing, you earn that second contract.
Right. And even for the guys that don't, like, if you give up on somebody and just cut them or whatever, and they go someplace else and flourish, that obviously stings. And I get where Eddie was coming from in terms of that. But if guys just graduate, and because you have such an abundance of players that you have to re-sign, that you just, it's not because you don't want to, it's because you have to make a really hard decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they go and go on to have nice other years with somebody else, but you also got the comp pick in return. There's organizations that, not that they celebrate that, but they keep track of that because, hey, we're doing something right here. We would have loved to have kept player X, but we couldn't because we needed to take care of player A, B, and C. And so the math just didn't work. But the fact that that person provided or that player contributed to us during the time that he was here and has gone on to be a contributing player for another NFL team, that just validates what you're doing in the scouting and in the development. So that's a far different situation than some of the guys that just came and went. I have to do a thing every year. It's I go back and look every 5 years on drafts for the Raiders and how many players are still in the league, how many starters came out of that draft, how many practice squad players, all of that. And when I first started doing this and I look back at the previous 5 years, it was a joke.
You shake your head.
It was a joke. Mm-hmm. Now you're starting to get to a point. This is where you can see that it's turning around. Now you're starting to see like players not only stay with the Raiders, but are really contributing players. Again, I keep going back to that 21 draft post Alex Leatherwood in that 2021 first round pick. After that, pretty damn solid since then with the draft, and you're starting to see that's three straight years now. Of, okay, pretty good draft, or actually four straight, right? 21, 22, 23, and now 2024. And I have a good feeling about this class, and I have a good feeling about the players that were drafted last year that are ready to take, steps forward. So it's getting better. Without question, it's getting better.
All right, well, on a break, we'll come back in the second hour. We got four down territory and more on Raider Nation Radio. It's Vinny and Clay on your Thursday.